You're listening to the Big Guy Fantasy Sports Podcast Network. Welcome to the Nasty Cast.
Hello and welcome to episode 135 of the NastyCast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by Dots Pretzels. I am Nathan Dockin. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dockin. And I am joined today by the Guy Fieri of Fantasy Baseball, Van Lee. What's up, Van?
I take that as the ultimate compliment. Like, that is the best thing any human has ever said to me. And because I worship Guy Fieri because he's just such a weird character. So that's what's up with me, is you just made me very happy.
I took your ass to Flavortown.
That's right. And in fact, there's a game that I play with some friends, and we don't even really follow the rules. I don't even know what it's called. But the idea is you read a card, and the card says, like, what's the biggest thing that would turn you off in bed? And you're supposed to, everybody responds truthfully, writes it down. And then the person who read the question has to guess who said what. But all of my friends and I get together and we just write down absurd things. And so one of my favorite things to put in that game, even if the answer does not make sense, is Guy Fieri, conductor on the one-way train to Flavortown.
Good stuff. Every time I see a Guy Fieri meme on Facebook somewhere, well, either you're tagged in it or I think of you.
Yeah, that's true.
Good stuff. So on today's show, hopefully no screaming babies. I don't know if you guys can hear that in the background, but still fun times in the Dockin household with a bunch of children. Anyway, more importantly, though, you can easily already detect the absence of Ron Rigney, who unfortunately has been displaced from his abode by stupid Hurricane, well, ISIS, basically.
Yeah.
Hurricane Irma. Yeah, he's a Floridian, and he is currently perusing the countryside, I believe. I think he's out in, like, Illinois recently. He was out there. He's flying all over, well, you know, metaphorically. He's driving all over the countryside. You know, so just all the best to all our buddies out there in Florida. I know Yance Eden, friend of the show, he's down there as well. And it's just been a total crap show. So all the best to all those down there in Houston and as well in Florida. Hopefully Ron can reclaim his abode and be back with us next week. But for now, it's just me and you, Van.
Indeed. And yeah, a real quick shout out, my good friend Justin Hughes. He and his wife went to a conference in Florida, right? And they were arriving right before the hurricane hit. So I don't know why they still went, but they've been trapped there ever since. But the good news is they were staying at like a Disney resort. And so that means they just kept staying at a Disney resort. So they got an extra, what, week, 2 weeks or whatever, hanging out with Mickey Mouse and at the pool and all that. So good for them for that. And they're safe. And, of course, Ron's safe. We know, we've heard from him. I mean, no hurricane could hurt Robald the Magnificent. That's for sure.
No, yeah, he would kick that ass. Well, I did read that they were urging Floridians not to shoot the hurricane. Did you hear that?
No, but that does not surprise me.
Please do not shoot the hurricane. The bullets will come back.
Yeah, if it goes up, this is like Newtonian law here. It will come back down eventually and probably fast enough to hurt someone. So please don't shoot your gun straight up into the air.
I also heard tell that there's some sharks in there too, flying around.
Nados, yeah, yeah, kind of buzzing around.
Real life Sharknado. Did you ever watch those movies?
I didn't. You know, I love bad movies. You and I have discussed Mystery Science Theater 3000 before. Yep. It's probably my favorite television show of all time. But I like bad movies who are trying to be good movies. The Sharknado movies are bad movies who are trying to be bad movies. And it just doesn't do it for me. Yeah, not my thing.
Exactly. Plus, Tara Reid isn't really hot anymore either. She's got those terrible fake boobs.
Yeah, like there was a mistake with that. And then she's been anorexic and then put on weight and back and forth. And I mean, I get body image distortion and all that's a terrible thing, but yeah, it's just, Tara Reid's kind of scary.
Yeah, bad situation. Just as scary as the hurricane. Anyway, on today's show, we're going to talk about some news. We're going to play a variety of legit or quit called Seriously WTF, based on some pitchers that kind of suck but have been really good over the second half. So that'll be fun. We're going to talk about some closers, and then we're going to round out the show with some straight up BS. We're going to play Which Is More, which is a fun game that Van has graciously brought to us from his old podcast, The Backup Catcher.
That's right. Yeah. And you've played it before on the backup catcher. So it'll be exciting. Stick around for it. It's baseball related. So there is a little bit of a topic to that. So you'll see
Yes.
or hear, I suppose.
Vaguely baseball related. Yeah, if you're seeing us, I mean, I think that at this point, it's pretty well established that it's a video podcast, right? Like, I'm not a big tech guy, but I think that this is a video podcast, right? The people can see us.
Yeah, they should be able to just from the sky because I mean, satellites are
Yeah.
everywhere and all that. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, I just threw a camera into the hurricane, and like, I assume that it flies into space and it'll capture us.
That's how it works. I mean, that's how NASA does it. They just wait until there's a big windstorm
Right.
and they just fling it at the wind. And then they're like, oh, it's going to Pluto. So there we go.
There she goes. It's always heartwarming to watch it. I love watching those films on YouTube. Anyway, if you can follow us, you can follow us on Twitter. There's no if about it. You can do it at NastyCastBGFS. What is your favorite thing to throw into a hurricane? Tweet us. You can also reach Van at Manly Van Lee, and Ron, whenever he is not running away from hurricanes, is at The Real Made on Twitter, Maday. And also, you can listen to Fantrax Dynasty Baseball. You can listen to that on the Fantrax radio feed. You can do that on iTunes, Google Play, all that kind of crap, Fantrax.com itself. And you can also check out BigGuyFantasySports.com for baseball and football articles, mine of which are wrapping up. I believe I'm doing my final version of Fire and Ice for the season tomorrow. It'll probably be hopefully posted within 3 days.
Yeah.
Seems like I think Bob's been busy with football. It's been a bit of a delay between my writings and when they're posted. But anyway, that's rounding up. The season's practically over. So, and oh, and also, if you like the podcast, please leave us a rate and review on iTunes. If you ever want us to see anything other than like last place on the iTunes chart, I don't think anybody's listening anymore anyway. But
I don't think anybody's listening to anything other than football. Now we have our
yeah.
downloads. I mean, I see that we're getting our downloads. So loyal listeners out there, thank you for listening and continue to listen. But we're gonna be wrapping up the show here, what, within a few weeks. Like I think we've got one or two left, and then we'll go off until after the season.
This is it. This is the penultimate
Oh, this is the last
2017
one.
episode.
Okay,
Yep.
that's what it was. There you go.
Yep. So we're gonna take off the last 2 weeks of the season, since, like you said, everybody else is listening. Everybody's already listening to football anyway. So we're gonna do this here. We're gonna screw around for a little bit, and then we're gonna come back once the season is wrapped up and sort of go over our calls. We always do a pretty big finale episode. Of course, this year is gonna be different because it's you and Ron instead of our old hosts, Joe and Jesse. So. But we're gonna do kind of a lot of the same things. Wrap up, talk about what our biggest disappointments, our biggest surprises, all that kind of fun stuff. So that's always a big fun episode. And I think one thing that I'm gonna try to do is, I guess I haven't talked to Nate about this, but I would like to preview Fantrax Dynasty Baseball on this feed. Maybe steal an episode and stick it in this feed so people can kind of get a feel of what we're doing over there, and maybe they'll go sign up for Fantrax radio feed as well. That would be a fun little bonus, I think.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, so hopefully look out for that within the next day, the next coming days, the next week, something like that, if we can get that approved. That's going to do it for the housekeeping. Let's move on to some news. And this was already.
Real quick,
Yeah,
one.
sure.
I do have a question. All right, so you did mention, of course, new hosts, Ron and I versus Jesse and why can't I think of his name? I play fantasy with him. I've spoken with him, Joe.
Nostro Man.
Yeah, there you go. So, of a direct replacement, who's more like whom? Like, am I more like Joe or am I more like Jesse? And is Ron more like Jesse or Joe? Well, who would you say we are directly replacing?
Oh, God. Where do I even start with that? It'd be different if I could like see you guys, because I mostly base their performance on body hair. Like, Joe has absolutely no hair on his head or his body for the most part, from what I can see anyway. Whereas Jesse's very bushy on the top of his head, and he's got all kinds of body hair. And so I would say, based on body hair, you're probably Jesse, and then Ron is probably Joe, because I believe Ron also shaves his head.
Yeah, I know he has nothing up top. I don't know about the body hair. I haven't been able to experience that in life yet, but yes, I think if that's your basis, that's a very good comparison. Because I'm
Right.
bearded right now too, so I have shaggy hair, beard everywhere else. It's just like I'm Bigfoot like recording. So that's just kind of how it works when you're Van Lee.
Oh, Bigfoot. He is my. Oh, man. There's. I don't even know if I. Because, oh, you know what? Nobody's listening anyway. There's. I urge everybody to go listen to the last podcast on the left. I love, love, love that podcast. It's hilarious. They talk about a lot of the things that I love. Like, it's really, really dark humor, which I tried not to get into too much on this show, because we just get crappy reviews then, because people who tune in for a baseball podcast aren't really into like joking about death and that kind of stuff.
For whatever reason, I mean, I don't get it, but sure.
People are so sensitive these days, but they don't hold back on the last podcast on the left. They talk a lot about serial killers and the occult and aliens and all that kind of really, really fun. I love all that kind of stuff. And oh God, now I forget what it is. Oh, once in a while they do creepy pastas from listeners, which, if you're not familiar with creepy pastas, they're basically like fan fiction horror stories. They're just like Joe Blow wrote up this horror story, and they just post it on Reddit basically. And so they will just take like basically the worst ones that they can find, and they'll read them on the podcast once in a while, just to sort of break up their topics and just make fun of them mercilessly. And they did one episode where it was just like Bigfoot erotica, which is apparently a whole like a whole mini genre about like hairy people stealing away women and then having sex with them. And the women are always like, oh, they hated it at first, but then sort of they get into it and then they love it all of a sudden. They want Bigfoot to just screw them all the
Story of my
time.
life, man.
So I would go find that podcast. I can't recommend it enough for people who like Bigfoot erotica. Go check that. That would be the last podcast on the left. It's probably the whatever the latest creepypasta one is. And apparently Bigfoot has a U-shaped penis. So
Good,
there's
good.
that.
It's like when you buy like summer sausage at the supermarket, instead of being long,
Yes.
it's in that like horseshoe shape. That's probably what it's like.
Yes, the more you know. Anyway,
Baseball.
baseball. Moving on to the news, and this was, you know, we missed last week because, good Lord, you know, hurricanes and works and children and everything. So this is news from 2 weeks ago. But Ben, you sort of previewed this because this stuff went down right after basically we recorded 2 weeks ago, and that was Justin Upton getting dealt, and Verlander getting dealt as well. And Upton went out to your beloved Halos, man. So let's see, we've got a couple weeks of sample size in the books now. How are you feeling about the trade?
I mean, I love the trade when it happened. And to be honest, I'm going to pull up his numbers because I feel like he's done well, but I don't know the actual like digits of what he's done. So let me pull up my game log here. But really, they traded nothing. He was a third round pitcher who was not much of anything to pay, at the very least, just the final little bit of Upton's contract. Now, he has a opt-out clause in his contract, which he may or may not exercise. I think there's a chance he doesn't. Honestly, I hope he doesn't, because compared to some of the other contracts that are out there, particularly like the one that went to Yoenis Cespedes, I would rather have Justin Upton with his remaining 4 years and $88 million for the next 4 years than Cespedes for the next whatever with his huge $100 million contract. But if he does opt out after this year, it's not that big of a deal. They gave up a nobody prospect just to pay a little money to make a playoff run. And he's played, looks like, 10 or so games, had a hit in almost all of them. He's probably hitting about 400 since then. I don't think he's homered since he came over. Let me go ahead
Yeah,
and switch the dates. That's the one thing, which was the first.
his September OPS is 751.
Yeah. I knew it wasn't great. September 1st. There we go. That's right, because they would have done it for the so they could have a playoff eligible. Because if you do it after that
Yep.
date, they wouldn't be. So yeah, no homers. Hitting pretty well, average wise, 270-ish. He's drove in a couple of
Yeah.
runs. He's had some good games, and he's the only problem I had is he dropped a ball one game, and we probably lost
Right
because of
away.
that. Yeah, it was right away. But he helps the team, and then they immediately made a trade for Brandon Phillips as well, which was
Yes.
again for absolutely nothing. And the Angels' second base production this year has been abysmal. So no matter what Phillips does, it'll be an improvement. And he's hit well. So this was a really smart move by the Angels to not cripple their franchise in any capacity, but really upgrade the team and hopefully make a playoff push. The problem is the team that they're chasing are your beloved Twins, who have never lost a game in their entire lives. They
Yes.
just keep winning, which is funny too, because I looked up and they're actually 5-5 in their last 10, but the Angels have been losing too. So, but yeah, so I mean, if they could chase down the Twins and take it over, they've got a shot at that wild card game. But boy, the Twins are playing well too.
Oh, they won 16-0 last night, man. The first team in the history of baseball to hit a home run in each of the first 7 innings.
Wow, that's insane. The Minnesota
Yeah.
Twins, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely. Hey, they've got one of the best young lineups, arguably the best young lineup in baseball, because the average age in that lineup is like 24 or something like that. It is bonkers. They're going to be good offensively for a long time. They've got some pitching pieces in place now. I kind of would have liked to see, them add some sort of back end piece in the waiver trade deadline, especially, I mean, I guess it's different. With like Justin Upton, you saw. I guess compared to some other outfielders, too, J. Martinez as well. The market for outfielders this year at the deadline was just barren. Jay Bruce went for pennies, and so it made sense for the Angels to ship a package of circus peanuts for Justin Upton. And to be honest, I don't know if he'll even opt out of that contract because. We saw just how little money there is to go around, not only this past offseason, but during this season too. There's just not a whole lot of demand for outfielders. So I wouldn't be surprised if you've got him for that contract. But yes, and then as far as the Twins go, man, it's nice to see them hitting like that. Byron Buxton seems like he's finally maybe turned the corner. This has been without Miguel Sano as well, who's been out for probably like a month at this point. And he is showing absolutely no signs of recovery. Like he took BP the other day, and it was reported that after that his shin was still sore. Good Lord. So he's like, hopefully we get him back for the wild card game, maybe. I don't even know if we would want him back because he might just be so rusty. And his, I don't know, his ever since April or May too, everything has just really fallen off. Like I wrote him up for Fire and Ice 1 week before. I think it got released several days before he got hurt, and he's been out ever since then. So you can go back and check that out if you want. But basically, ever since I think it was May, he's just been crap. Like he's been last year's version of Miguel Sano, just swinging at everything out of the zone. Still drawing some walks, but the power was way down. He was just living off his early season. So that's a little bit of a bummer. But you've got Eddie Rosario stepping up. Anyway, this isn't Twins Corner. I'll shut up. Let's talk about Justin Verlander, man. He was sent out to the Houston Astros, and he's been very, very good over the past couple of weeks. So, what do you think about Verlander in an Astros uniform?
I mean, I think that's a huge improvement for the Astros, who had a really good team, but their pitching has been pretty suspect lately. Keuchel's been hurt off and on. I think he's healthy and pitching right now. I can't remember. And then McHugh, and just on and on and down the list. And Fears has been not as good. So they needed some pitching. And this was apparently like a last minute deal. Verlander and supermodel girlfriend Kate Upton were pacing back and forth in the living room trying to decide whether they were going to do this. And I don't remember. I read a story, but there was one thing that made him decide it was okay. So he made the call and they signed the paperwork. I'm trying to look up the actual trade because I don't remember what was involved. I just know that the Astros are going to be paying Justin Verlander for the rest of this thing. So as a franchise that has a lot of young talent to cheap contracts, they can afford to do this. And, I do want to point out in an episode maybe a month or two ago, I said that I was all in on Verlander coming really good again. And guess what he has? So, ha ha, me, yay. But he's another year older. So, I mean, how long is it going to last? What's the actual Verlander going to be? I don't know how it works out for him long term, but for this year, it's a smart move because it gives him a really good pitcher to put at the top of their rotation, particularly in a playoff series where That could be super important. Pitching's really important, and if you want to win that first game or second game and get off to a good start and go from there.
Yeah, it's great move in my opinion by the Astros, and I can't remember exactly the return there. I believe Franklin Perez
He
was
was
probably the
involved, yeah.
yeah, he was the best prospect. I was about to pull up an article, and then all of a sudden there was a stupid autoplay ad, so I just clicked out of there so people aren't listening to an autoplay ad. The internet is so annoying these days, Kyle.
Ah, it did the same thing to me, so I'm sorry if everyone just heard that.
Man, stop watching that. Shake weight ad.
Shake weight, indeed.
Put your pants back on. Yeah, no, I don't know why you wouldn't do it if you're Justin Verlander. I mean, the Tigers aren't going anywhere anytime soon, and the Astros are going to be in World Series contention, as far as I'm concerned, for the foreseeable future. They've got such a ridiculous offense, and that's all they needed was just a little bit more pitching. And they've got some guys up, but I can't stop bragging about Forrest Whitley, who's going to be up for them next year. Oh God, he is so. I'm going to try to. I don't know who owns him in Dynasty, but they better watch out because they're going to be assaulted with vicious trade offers as soon as the season wraps up. I'm going to try and get him in every single league. Anyway, yeah, I don't have a whole lot more to say on Justin Verlander. I think just straight up value up for him.
Yeah, Franklin Perez, Daz Cameron, and catcher Jake Rogers were the three.
Okay.
So that's a good move for the Tigers in that they bolstered their pretty crappy farm system. I mean, to be honest, they didn't really have a whole lot coming through the pipeline. So that's a good move for them. And, their complete rebuild here should help. I wish they would have gotten something out of JD Martinez instead of pennies, but this little bit, every little bit helps. So we may see him in a couple of years as getting back into it, but who knows?
Yeah, it's still weird that they got so little for JD Martinez, especially as good as he's been. Boy, he has just been insane since going to the Diamondbacks. Hopefully they re-sign him. I have him on all kinds of teams. I just absolutely love that guy. Even given the poor outfield trade market that I already mentioned, to get basically nothing for him was pretty bad. I probably would have just kept him if I was Detroit. But anyway, let's see who else we got. We got the Indians streaking. They won their 21st straight game today, Van. So obviously, my boy, we got to talk about him. MVP candidate in the American League, Jose Ramirez,
Yeah.
right? Huh?
Holy cow, he's been good. And yeah, MVP candidate's definitely right. He'll be right up there. 5.3 WAR. He's got 26 homers, 15 steals, 94 runs, 73 RBI. He's hitting 309, 362, 566. And the most important thing about this for me is that he's 24 years old. He feels so much older than that, but boy, he's been good. And the Indians as a whole have been amazing. One of my favorite pitchers in baseball is Corey Kluber, and he's been just shut down amazing since, oh, I don't know. Well, after I traded for him is when he got really good. So you're welcome, Corey Kluber. I mean, this is a team that's going to win some games. My fear is that we see a lot of the team that wins the World Series is the team that gets hot at the right moment. And with the Indians being hot now, if they start to cool down, they may be like that Seattle Mariners team that won 116 games and then were just swept in the first round of the playoffs or whatever. So that's always a possibility. I mean, you can't predict that because it's baseball. It's not how it works. But they're doing everything right now. They've got a lot of good pieces, and I think they were my pick to win the World Series at the beginning of the year. I'll have to go back and listen to some podcasts I did. But yeah, they're a good team. And next year, as far as where would I draft Jose Ramirez?
Yeah, we did when you were gone, we brought in Brian from the Bench with Bubba podcast and did our top 30 players for 2018. So you were unable to partake in that. You said upon listening back to it, you perhaps took umbrage with some picks. Would you have had Jose Ramirez in the top 30?
Maybe. That's the question. I mean, he's hands down to me, he's a top three rounder, right? I mean, that's just consensus. It
Yeah,
should be.
absolutely.
So then the question becomes, is he a second rounder? And off the top of my head, without looking at players, I really think he probably is. I mean, the thing, if I'm going to play, devil's advocate here, is I'm going to say that this is a huge power jump. He went from 11 home runs and 618 plate appearances last year to 26 and 583 this year. He could arguably hit 30. Is that real? if that's somewhat real and he hits 20 homers and steals 15 to 20 bases and puts up the triple slash he did this year and has versatility for that matter, or is at least just a third baseman, which is great, then yes, he's a second rounder. If we're going to see him revert to being a 10 to 15 homer guy, maybe not. Maybe he deserves to be a little bit lower. But the fact is that he's young, he's produced really well, and there's possibly another level to him. So I ultimately do think he's somewhere in the second round. I don't know where I'd be comfortable taking him, but it's at the least at the back end of the second round, I would think.
Yeah, I think we probably erred by omitting him from the top 30, because I think upon further reflection, and he's been really hot since we recorded that too. He's just been out of his mind, so that factors into it a little bit. But I think that I would probably have him in my top 30 somewhere in there. And trying to dissect whether this power surge is real, I think for the most part it is because. You look at his fly ball rate is up about 4% this year. It was way up earlier on in the season, and it's sort of evened out as the season has worn on. And his pull percentage is up 7 points, so he is definitely pulling the ball for power. And just watching him, you can see sort of that extra ability as opposed to last year. He's just really a lot more able to sort of pull like a Jose Altuve did. He's just really able to turn on the ball and be able to hit it out in addition to spreading the ball going the other way when he has to and hitting for a high average. And his hard contact is up oh God, was it
Almost 10
seven?
percent. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's a
way, way
26
up.
to 34. So that's a big jump. Yeah.
Yeah, so I 30 home runs I think would be pushing it, but I could see him being a 25-20 candidate next year. And when you sprinkle in a 300 average on top of that, I think we might even still be discounting him a bit. He might even go higher than, maybe he's a top 20 player.
That's true. And in this day and age with home runs being what everybody does, that's another reason to think that the power output is probably more legit because everyone else is hitting more home runs. Why shouldn't he? But the most important thing there is that, yeah, he could be a 20 steal guy and he likely could be this year. I don't think he is this year because the Indians have such a lead that they'll tell him to, back off, don't hurt yourself. But
Yeah.
he has the ability to do it and he's a 300 hitter, which we lose a lot of. So if you're playing in batting average leagues, that's huge. And then, he only walked. Quote, only walks at like a 7.5% range the last couple of years. That's still good enough to get you in the 360 OBPs if he hits for average, which is great. I mean, that's going to help you in any league too. So no matter how it shakes out, this is a really good player and we're seeing him develop right before our eyes. And I do point out, if I'm talking to anybody, that you are the guy who really turned me on to Jose Ramirez because you were so high on him from the beginning. And I didn't not have interest in him, but I was like, yeah, just be something or other. And then he turns into this guy who's really, really good.
You're welcome. Yes, he is my boy. He's always been my boy. And I will point out too that the 300 average, like you said, that's hard to come by these days, especially with the major league median average just getting lower and lower as strikeouts become more prevalent. So that having that 300 batting average really helps a lot more than you would even think nowadays. And he also, just to put another sort of feather in his cap, he was hitting fifth or sixth for the start of the season, for a very, very long time. It wasn't until looks like right around the start of August when Terry Francona finally said, okay, this is, maybe the best hitter on our team. Let's put him in the three hole. And so he's been there ever since. And so I think that next year you're going to see him hit second or third somewhere in there throughout the duration of the season. And that's going to even increase his runs in RBI total. Like you said, off the jump, 96 runs already so far this season, but 73 RBI. I think that goes up quite a bit next year and fuels his value even more. So the more that I'm talking about it, the higher he's going up my draft board for next year.
Yeah, and if Michael Brantley's back to being healthy this year, who was really good, then that's an excellent leadoff hitter. I mean, he was their number three hitter for a long time. Move him to leadoff, let him get on base a ton, keep Jose Ramirez at third, and then play around in the two and four spots and see what you can do there. And I think that's a great idea. So even if Brantley gets hurt or whatever, you're right. I think Ramirez has really cemented himself as the three hitter or cleanup if they decide to do that, or two, which, you know, there's a lot of speculation that being the two or four hitter is actually the best spot to be for you. So he might be in the two spot, like, you know, Mike Trout always hit second. So there's a possibility for that. But there's a lot of options for him. But man, he's just a really good player.
I think with the skill set that he's got, with the speed too, that he's a really ideal number two hitter, and then you can play around after that. But yeah, either way, you're winning. But we've got to move on. We've got Shohei Ohtani to talk about. News came out today that apparently he's going to be posted over this winter, despite the fact that that could perhaps cost him a metric ton of money, I believe, is the quote. But what do you think? Who's the favorite to land Shohei Ohtani in the offseason?
I like that, by the way. Metric ton, that's pretty good. It's interesting because the way the rules work are that if they're under the age of 25, the maximum amount of money that can be given to them is $10 million. So that's why we're saying he's going to lose a lot of money, because if he was 25, 26 years old, he could essentially sign a free agent contract and make just oodles of money because of his talent, because he's a two-way guy. He's got a ton of power, hits for a lot of home runs, but he's also a
Right.
pitcher.
I didn't preface that very well. I guess I assume that everybody knows who Shohei Ohtani is.
That's
But
true, yeah.
yeah, the reason that we're talking about these max contracts already is because he's widely regarded as potentially the best player in the world. Just what is he, 24 years old?
He's 23.
23, yes. Okay. So last year, this year he's been largely hurt. And so that's another reason why I think a lot of people didn't believe that he would be posted in this offseason, because he's played very, very sparingly all season because of an injury. But last year, so yeah, like you said, two-way player. Last year he hit .322, .416, .588 with 22 bombs and 382 plate appearances. And then on the mound, where people would probably use him primarily, you know, it's up in the air as to whether anybody would actually let him bat both, or you know, be a two-way player. But he went 10-4 with a 1.86 ERA and 174 strikeouts in 140 innings pitched.
Yeah.
So I mean, if he does sign with the National League team, I mean, that would perhaps give National League teams a bump, because he'd be able to potentially play both ways. Do you think that would actually, you know, tip the scales in the favor of like the Dodgers?
It could. And wouldn't that be exciting too to see, you know, a team like, say, the Dodgers batting their pitcher like fifth or something like that? That'd be crazy. But he could do it. I mean, this could be the guy could do it. So to go a little more over the rules to complicate things further is, remember that each team has a certain amount of money in international bonus pool that they can spend. They can only spend X amount. So there are some teams that may not be able to spend that 10 million, and they could be penalized. I remember the Angels were penalized several years ago for a guy you like to bring up and tease me about, which is Roberto Baldacquin. But I think
So good.
that's done. Like, they're past their penalties for that. So really, the big teams that are kind of being bandied about as destinations are the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Astros, the Yankees, and the Red Sox. And I mean, those are five big name organizations, so you could definitely see it. Now, I do know the Dodgers, the Cubs, and the Astros are penalized somewhat as far as the international spending market goes. I don't know to what degree it is for each of them, but I know there's a little bit more of a hurdle for them. So there are a couple of things that I think happen. Number one, I think somebody tries to skirt the rules. And one way to do that I read about was that, you know, you
I
said
always rule the skirts.
rule of skirts, there you go, is you could sign them for the 10 million or whatever after the first year, then you give them a 9-year extension for $200 million, something like that. But Manfred has come out, Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, and said that they're going to do everything in their power to keep teams from messing with the rules. So if MLB has their way and they keep the teams from kind of fidgeting and messing with the rules, I think the teams that are likely to get them would be maybe the Red Sox or the Yankees. With, honestly, I think the Angels could be like a dark horse. Maybe that's optimism on my part, but they've got money to spend. I don't think they have any penalties. and they need pitching. So I think there's a possibility there. But I think if I'm going to go with those three, I think he's a Yankee. I mean, they've had the experience with Masahiro Tanaka, Hideki Matsui. So they've had some Japanese players in the past. So they've had experience with it. They have the translators, they have all that. So I really think they're probably the guys that ended up with them, to my, chagrin. But there's a whole host of teams. The Giants, for example, might do something crazy and make a play for him. So you never know. We'll see what happens, and it'll be exciting to watch. Who do you think they end up getting?
Someone besides the Twins.
Yeah,
So
I'll
I
go with
don't,
that.
yeah. So I'm not really too excited for it as a Twins fan because it just means some other team is going to be getting a lot better, and the Twins will not. They will continue to tread water. I don't know. I've sort of heard the speculation that perhaps the Dodgers want to extend Yu Darvish now that they have, even though he hasn't been any good basically since he's been a Dodger. But and that would sort of tilt the scales in their favor for Ohtani, so he would sort of have somebody immediately to BS with, another another Asian in his corner, I guess.
Little buddy, they can hug and hang out together,
Yeah, I
drink
believe
some.
they used to play in the same league, didn't they? Maybe I'm getting that wrong, but
I'm sure they did, yeah.
so yeah, that's really the only guess that I have in addition, to any other conjecture that anybody else would have. I just know it will not be the Twins. So let's actually, we're over half an hour in here, so why don't we go ahead and take a break here, and then we're going to come back with some, like, seriously, WTF.
Nasty. Nasty.
You're listening to the BGFS network, where we keep fantasy real.
All right, we're going to play a version of Legit or Quit now on the Nastiest of Casts called Seriously WTF, because this is a group of five pitchers that basically suck, but they've somehow been good over the second half of the season. We're going to start with, we were talking about the Twins earlier, perhaps too much, but we're going to go into one more before we move on to all the other teams in baseball. Kyle Gibson, man, he has got a 3.15 ERA over 60 second half innings. What do you think, legit or quit, on Kyle Gibson?
First off, it stands for seriously, what the fantasy?
That's right.
Yeah, so quit.
Just like DTF stands for
down to fantasy. Exactly, yeah. Quit on Kyle Gibson. No thanks. He's done this before. He's had flashes where he's been pretty good. And in fact, I remember when he was called up to the majors, I picked him up because I read some article about him and I needed filler. And he was really good for five or six starts. And then he finished that season, I think, with an ERA over five or something like that. No, it's right here. 6.53 was his final ERA for the season. He doesn't strike anyone out. Even in this day and age where strikeouts are going up, he's still only striking out 6.5 per 9. The walks are too high for a guy that doesn't strike anyone out at 3.38. And even with how good he's been lately, the ERA is still at 4.97. And the FIP and XFIP don't like him at both over 4.5. So no thanks. He's rotation filler for a bad team for me.
Yeah. Some poor franchise is going to give him like $8 million next year, and he's gonna have a 7 ERA.
Yeah.
I just know it. Like, that's what we've seen this from Kyle Gibson before. Okay, so I did do some research on this, so I'll get that out of the way. I do agree with you that I'm quitting him, but his strikeout minus walk percentage has gone from 3.5% in the first. I mean, he was just ungodly bad. He got demoted to AAA. He was so bad after the first half. So he had a 3.5% strikeout minus walk rate in the first half. The second half is up to 14.1%. And his BABIP has it's basically maintained. It was 335 in the first half and 328 in the second half. So he's not just getting lucky with the BABIP. And his hard contact rate also is down 8% from 39% to a much more tolerable 31%. It's about league average. And recently, like, I was looking into his pitch mix, see if there's any change there. Recently, he's kind of started throwing his four seam more and a sinker less. But really, that makes no sense because looking into the results, the ISO on his four seam is double that of his sinker. So why would you throw that more? Anyway, so I've watched some of his starts. despite my best efforts. And he does seem to be locating the ball a bit better, if I could like pick anything out of what I'm seeing differently. You know, so maybe they actually did manage to iron out some kinks in his delivery when he was sent down to Rochester. But overall, like I said, I'm just not buying into him. Even in his good second half, his K per nine is just 7.5. And that's still not great. So this to me, there's not really any discernible change here for me. Like I said, I hope that some other team pays him $8 million. I'm just going to laugh so hard.
It's kind of like Kyle Loesch at the end of his career, where people just kept giving him starts, and he'd have one or two good starts, and then he was just bad. Like that's just kind of how it goes.
Or Matt Garza.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, we'll move on to pitcher number two in Seriously What the Fantasy. Denelson Lamet has a 3.16 ERA over 57 second half innings. Van Legitiquit on Denelson Lamet.
Well, and you remember, I think we discussed him a couple episodes ago, and I was a quit, and I'm still going to maintain that quit for a couple of reasons. The strikeouts are super nice. I mean, the guy's striking out 11.3 per nine, so holy crap, that's a lot. That's amazing. But he's too many walks. He's got a 4.13 walks per nine, and that will eventually hurt you. I know he's succeeding with it right now. To an extent. I mean, his season ERA is at 4.32. So, I mean, overall this year, the body of work isn't that great. And FIP and XFIP are both over 4. But one thing to look at is this guy's pitching half his games in Petco. And if that's the best he can do, we know he's overperforming. And that is his overperformance in Petco, then he's really can't be that good of a starter. I think right now, if you're in a roto league and you're trying to gain some points in strikeouts, then sure, toss him out there. He's succeeding. Everything's good. But in a dynasty league, I don't want anything to do with him, because I think eventually everything's going to catch up. And even if he does continue striking guys out, those walks means he's going to give up a bunch of runs because people are going to get on base. He does give up some homers. The BABIP is ultra low on him right now at 261. I think that goes up, you know, back to more career rates over 300. So eventually I think it gets pretty unpretty with Lamet, but right now it's working. So I guess ride the ship until it stops.
Yeah. I think the point of pitching in Petco is well said, because he's an extreme fly ball pitcher. And I think I'm willing to start him in, you know, extreme pitchers parks, or, you know, more friendly parks at least. So basically he's still, again, I looked into his pitch mix to see if there's anything that's really changed, for such a dramatic, you know, change in results over the second half from the first half. Still basically four seam slider guy, only rarely working in a change up, but that slider, we've talked about it before. It's just nasty. Nearly 20% whiffs on that pitch this year and 50% ground balls. But like I said, overall, he's an extreme fly ball pitcher. Really the only pitch that gets a decent amount of ground balls is that slider. But, you know, that said, being a fly ball pitcher really helps keep your BABIP low, because a lot of those fly balls end up being outs, and the ones that aren't outs a lot of times leave the ballpark, and that's not a ball in play. So, you know, so what is it? 254 second half BABIP. That's extreme. Like, even for, I mean, that's Marco Estrada territory, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, he is a fly ball pitcher as well. So you're going to have those sort of what you might consider unsustainably low BABIPs, but still I feel really crappy sort of relying on that. And, you know, one difference, I guess, that is worth noting that I found that seemed, you know, like a pretty stark contrast is his hard contact rate. From the first half, it was 40%, really ugly in the first half, and that led to a 5.93 ERA. But in the second half, it's down to 27%, which is very, very good. That's among the best in baseball. So, but even with that, his walk rate has actually gotten worse in the second half, up to 4.74 walks per nine over the second half. And so, yeah, he needs to improve on that before I'm going to be able to trust him, basically. So he's a quit for me as well. But I do think that he could be like a low to mid fours guy that I would be looking to stream in spacious ballparks next year.
I think that's a fair assumption, definitely.
Yeah, and then, you know, the strikeouts do make him worthwhile, especially in the deeper leagues, even if he does get knocked around from time to time. That is some sexy time strikeout rates. But anyway, let's move on to the eraser, MS Erasmo Ramirez. Van Legitter quit on him. He's done a good job starting since August 1st. He's got a second half ERA of 3.06 over 50 innings pitched. So are you convinced on him?
He's been pretty solid. And I remember when he was coming up with, I believe, the Mariners, Paul Sporer was high on him and was saying, you got to pick up the eraser. He's going to be good, blah, blah, blah. I listened to Sporer in that case. I don't always do that, but I did hear, and it never worked out. So I'm still quit on him. He's shuttled back and forth between the bullpen and the rotation for the Rays as they've needed him. Like I said, he was once a guy I liked, but he never learned to strike anyone out. Throughout all of this, he's had 6-9 and 7-1 K per 9 rates, and we're in an inflated K per 9 rate. I say that a lot, but we are, or age, and he's still only at 7.24. The walks are way down, which is nice, but he's also giving up homers at a crazy pace, 1.65 home runs per 9. That's too many, and particularly in Tropicana Field, which is not an easy place to hit home runs. Yeah. So even with the 3.77 ERA this year, I wanted to point this out, he still put up a negative WAR. Like he's like that was last year. He put up a negative 4.4 WAR with a 3.77 ERA. So even when he was good, he wasn't giving you value. This year he's at 4.25 and he has 0.7 WAR. So it's, you know, almost replacement level. And that's really how I feel about him. I would take him less so than Lamet, because at least Lamet strikes guys out for sure. But if you need to pick up a guy off the waivers who's got a good start or a two-start week if you're in weekly leagues, then maybe if he's got a couple of easy opponents, you could do something with it. But for the most part, no thanks.
War, what is it good for? Yeah, I'm quitting the Erasmo. There hasn't been any big change in pitch mix for him, but he does have an insane 200 BABIP over the second half. So there you have it, case closed. Normally I don't do that, but I really do think that's the case here. His strikeout minus walk percentage is basically unchanged. Hard contact rate is still 33%, you know, worse than league average. I'm just not buying it at all. 200 BABIP, bingo, bango, I'm passing.
There you go.
Doug Fister, what about him? He got blown up today. I see, I believe, six runs in four innings. Guy drives me bananas. So, but anyway, before the game, coming into the game, over 59 second half innings, he had a 3.36 ERA. So what do you think? Is that the Doug Fister that we should get used to now, or today's Doug Fister?
Well, you know, even with this blow up, his ERA is still at 3.91, FIP is at 4.01, xFIP 4.38. So they kind of think he's right around there. He does have a 1.1 WAR, so he's accrued a heck of a lot more than Erasmo Ramirez. He's a tricky one. I think I'm going to give him a legit just because I haven't given anyone yet, but that's a tentative one, and one that is obviously you need to put it in context, because this is a guy a couple of years ago who did put up an insane ERA. I think 2014 with the Nationals, he had a 2.41, even though FIP and xFIP were closer to 4. And that's what I think he is. He's a control guy who doesn't strike out a whole lot, though he's up to about 8 this year. And the walks are too much. He's at 3.79, but I think he's a better pitcher than that. And he's been hurt the last couple of years. So I think he's healthy this year, which is important. And I think he could kind of fill that Chris Young role, you know, big, tall Chris Young, who for whatever reason just kept getting a job and kept being at least semi-successful. And I think that's what he could be. I mean, even with this blow up that we saw, and that's going to happen every now and then, he still has at least some value. Some of these other guys that we talked about, Lamet, who's young, a lot of people are going to pay for because he's young. No one cares about Doug Fister, and he's going to be drafted super late if he is drafted at all. And again, pick up off of a waiver. So of the guys on here, I think he might be a little more likely to succeed than some of the others based on the cost you pay for him.
Oh, I still can't do it, man. I can't. I'm sorry. I gotta be a wet blanket here too. I'm going to quit him. He just drives me freaking nuts. Aside from the great, you know, fantasy baseball team names that he provides, such as Fister Roboto, it's just I don't know. His strikeouts, you know, like you mentioned, they're weirdly sort of back this year, perhaps thanks to an increase in velocity. And his control has improved over the second half, but even in the second half, it's not great. 3.36 walks per nine. But he does have a 258 BABIP, which is still low, even with a pretty good 54% ground ball rate and you know, mediocre 32% hard contact rate. But his swinging strike rate this year is 7.7%. There's no way that he can keep up even a league average strikeout rate. And that was the knock that I had on him before, is just you're not getting any Ks with him. I just can't imagine, you know, this is the run of strikeouts continuing. So I'm just gonna quit it. I think he's perhaps less volatile than he has been in recent years, but I just don't believe in the strikeouts. And so for that reason, I just don't see a whole lot of value with him. But let's move to our final guy in Seriously What the Fantasy, and that is Trevor Bauer. So it's, you know, it's kind of fun how much he loves pitching. I heard him talking on MLB Network the other day, but at the same time, as you're intrigued, you kind of want to punch him in the face. I believe he is also a repeat offender here in Legit or Quit. Okay, I think we talked about him earlier in the season, but he's got a second half ERA of 3.03 over 65 and a third innings pitched. So, Van, what say you, Legit or Quit on Trevor Bauer?
I think it's legit. The way I will definitely get legit, but here's the thing. He will just never be what I thought he could be. I mean, we all thought he could be a two. I mean, he could be almost an ace and super valuable, but what he is somewhat valuable because he is striking guys out. He does have the young age. I think he's 26, so he's still not that old. And he has the pedigree. Like, we knew he was a top prospect at one point, and that holds value to me in some degree because at one point or another, someone saw something that was so good in him that maybe they can tap into at some point. He's just never going to be what you want to be. He's a 4 ERA guy. FIP and xFIP like him a little more than some of the other guys we talked. They're both under 4. So I think maybe he could be under 4. He could be a 3.9, 4.1 guy at some point. The walks have kind of tapered off. He's still over 3, so he's having the control issues. But the strikeouts, I think, are legit. He's at 10.08, and maybe he's not that high, but I think he's going to be over a strikeout in the inning from here on out because he does have such good stuff. And I think you mentioned at one point when we talked about him is maybe he drops off one of his pitches to focus on the others. And I don't know if he's done that, but he probably should do that. And if he does, I think that could help him immensely. But he's also a smart guy. Like you said, you like to hear him talk. So maybe something clicks at some point. Of these five guys, he's my legit. And he's the guy that if suddenly he turns into, you know, a number three with a 3.5 ERA, then I'm not going to be that shocked. I do like him at least enough for that reason.
Yeah, he's almost too cerebral because you know we've seen him just tinker with, you know, six, seven different pitches throughout the years, and he overthinks things too much. He wants to move here and there on the rubber, and I think that's been actually detrimental to him. You know, and you're talking about all the pitches that he throws, and I did search for a potential change in pitch mix. I don't know if it's there. I took one look at his Brooks Baseball page, and I just instantly got a headache. So many pitches, my God. But no, it didn't look like there's anything too different there first half to second half. But I can tell you it's not all BABIP first half to second because he has a 3.45 BABIP in the second half. Although his hard contact allowed has dropped from 38% to 32%. The strand rate really is the biggest difference. First half, it was 68% strand rate, which is below average. And second half, it is up to 87%, which is unsustainably high. League average is about 72, 73%. So he's balancing out his awful BABIP luck by just stranding everyone, which is cool. I like it, you know, and he's getting a legit tag from me as well, the only one out of this bunch. I'm rolling him out, man. I like it. He can be a high K starter that I think can be I think that he can do mid threes next year, even. You know, I don't know about the rest of the season. I guess it's such a small sample, it doesn't really matter. Sure, he could do the rest of the season then, too. There, I said it. But I think I might be in on him next year, too, depending on his price, which I don't, you know, I don't know if it'll be too high as long as his ERA stays above 4. I might be looking at him next year.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's acceptable if he's in that range, based, of course, based on his price. But if he reverts back to the 4.55 ERA guy then he's lost. But I really don't think that's the case. I think he's figured a little bit out. He's growing into himself as a 26-year-old, 27-year-old, and there's hope.
There is hope. What's that quote from Shawshank Redemption? Hope's the most dangerous thing in the world or something like that.
I'd like to say that Andy Dufresne was not raped horribly, but that's what I know. But I do love that movie.
Look at this bar of soap that has been lubed up with water. And remember it being shoved up his orifice.
He sure dug through that tunnel of shit.
One of my all-time faves. Classic. Are you guys, should we just roll through this next one? I feel like we can probably bang the rest of this out pretty quickly. Are you good to go?
Let's do it. I'm up for banging quickly any day of the week.
Even in the shower. Manly. We'll bang quickly. Let's just, I put the Rockies on here. I kind of just left them on there from last time. I don't think there's much to say there. It seems pretty cut and dry at this point. So let's talk about the Royals, though, because Kelvin Herrera, and I actually texted you guys, you and Ron, when this happened, because I was watching when it happened, and it looked at the time like a total phantom injury, and now it's obviously not because he's missing time with it. But when he was pitching, it was really slight. Like, he didn't point to the train or anything like that. He was in the middle of an at-bat in an important ninth inning, and he had given up like three earned runs already and walked another two guys in a row. And all of a sudden, the trainers are coming out. I'm like, oh, sure. How convenient is that? But he apparently has some sort of forearm injury that has been lingering. And so who do we have for saves the rest of the way in Kansas City, Van? Who do you think?
I think it's Brandon Marr. I mean, he did it with San Diego. He's picked number one. I know he's been blown up a couple of times here in the second half, but I still think he's a pretty solid reliever. So he's going to be the guy. But you do need to watch Scott Alexander. I think he got a vulture save the other day when Moore was unavailable, and he'll be the vulture guy. So if there's one guy to own the rest of the year, I'm going to put my faith in Maurer. But if you're picking guys up to stream them in here and there when you know Maurer is not available, then Scott Alexander is the other guy to look at.
I actually went with Scott Alexander in the unprestigious Fart League, which is a local American League only league. And like you said, he's been getting the occasional stray save. I have always detested Brandon Moore. There's no way I'll even try to pick him up. I hate him and his 6.40 ERA. So, of course, you know, now that I've picked up Alexander and got a save or two out of him, today he blew a save in the ninth inning. He gave up like two runs in, I believe, two-thirds of an inning against the damn White Sox. So, I don't know. It's Alexander or bust for me, but I would say based on today, it's probably going to be more. So if I were to actually dole out any advice, I would say don't be like me. Go get Brandon Maurer. And Scott Alexander is probably the second place guy at this point. So I agree with you.
Van suggests Brandon Moore. Nate suggests Scott Alexander. Don't be like Nate. Be like Van.
Exactly. Could make that t-shirt.
We should make that t-shirt.
We can and we will. We have the technology. moving on to Miami, Brad Ziegler has been dealing with, I believe, some back issues, and he's missed some time. So is it Kyle Bearclaw? Is there anybody else that we should be potentially handcuffing there in Miami?
I don't think so, and we discussed this a few weeks ago, that there's really not a lot of options. So now that Bearclaw is healthy, he's going to be the guy. Here's the thing, though. They've committed to Ziegler. Even though Bearclaw came back healthy, they decided, hey, Ziegler's going to be the closer. So you need to watch Ziegler and see how his health plays out. He's got a bulky back. They're going to let him rest a couple of days and see how it turns out. In the meantime, Bearclaw's going to have the job. He's going to get the saves. But if it turns out that this really wasn't a big deal for Ziegler, I think they give it right back to him for whatever reason.
Totally agree. Kind of disappointed that Bearclaw didn't slip back into the role, and doesn't appear like he will before the season is over. So Bradley Ziegler will be the man. But that's going to do it for the baseball goodness for this week. Let's do some tangentially related, I guess, baseball stuff, which is more.
Oh!
Which is more, yes, and I'll explain it. This is a game that was created on my old podcast, The Backup Catcher, by my co-host, Brian Vaughn. The idea is I'm going to give you two options, and it could be something like, which is more, Mark Teixeira's OBP or Hank Blaylock's OBP? And then you would guess, and then I would tell you which is right. However, that's not how we play. We like to pick things that are absurd. So we'll say, which is more, this absurd thing or that absurd thing? The other person guesses. Everyone has fun.
Yes, indeed. And I will say, I'm not overly proud of mine, but we'll see. We'll see how they go.
As long as you have something to do with chain link armor, like is the first one you ever did, then I'm all for it.
I didn't, so I guess I failed you.
Who would you like to go first?
I've got two of them. I don't know how many you have.
I have three, so I'll start, and then we'll go from there. So it's perfect. All right, so here you go, folks. Which is more? The number of times Aaron Judge has rolled his eyes at a judicial pun joke, or the number of times Josh Reddick has said about teammate George Springer, hardly know her.
He's such a hillbilly. Oh, man. It's definitely Reddick.
I think that's pretty accurate for sure. Because actually, I think a judge buys in the whole judicial things. Because didn't he put on his jersey, like all rise or something like that on that weekend or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Although I will say, to balance the scales, there are plenty more Aaron Judge fans out there than Josh Reddick fans. So perhaps I would tilt the scales a little bit. But in any scenario, My first which is more, the number of times the Corey Kluber has strained a hammy in a celebration of an out, or the amount of times that Kyle Hendricks has smiled in his lifetime.
oh boy. Because I don't want to jinx Kluber, I'm going to go with Kyle Hendricks on that. I have such a man crush on Corey Kluber.
There was a picture that I saw on the internet today of him just, you know, totally stoic. And it was like, here's Corey Kluber in the throes of an epic celebration, you know, with the 21st win from the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. Klubot. Gotta love him.
Klubot engage. Oh, and real quick then, my friends and I like to, anytime he pitches and pitches well, we like to send each other texts that are hashtag clue something or other. And my favorite one, the one I use all the time, is that when he pitches well, I have a hashtag clue boner.
Yeah.
But I think the one I sent the other day was Klubnipotent instead of Omnipotent. That was a tricky one. All right.
Klubnipotent.
Next up for you. Which is more, the number of cities pillaged by Justin Turner aboard his ship, the Red Fury, during the offseason, or the amount that Chris Sale salivates when he goes into a Hall of Fame and sees all of the retro jerseys?
Oh, God, he's infuriated. He probably just brings one of those box cutters in there with him. That's what he used before, right?
I think it was. Just starts hacking away.
He's like a bull, now that you think about it.
Bull in a China shop, or it's just a sale in a uniform shop.
Dangle some fabric in front of him. Oh, God, I got to go with my boy Justin Turner on that one. That dude just pillages the shit out of everybody. I love that guy.
His Viking haircut looks like Tormund. He's great.
Yeah, the Tormund of Major League Baseball, baby. All right, and then my second and final one, which is more, the total of porn videos watched by Carlos Martinez, or the number of Jimmy Dean's breakfast sausage links that CC Sabathia can take down in 1 week?
I forgot. What was the story with the porn thing and Martinez? Didn't he retweet or something like that?
Yeah. I believe it was retweets. He at least in some way interacted with porn videos / stars a whole bunch of times. And apparently he's got like STDs. Some lady was suing him because he allegedly gave her some STDs. I guess he's just.
Nice job.
Just likes to get around. Yeah,
I guess so. But boy, CC Sabathia sure does love eating sausages. I can tell you that for sure. But I guess with that admission of the STDs, I'm going to go with Carlos Martinez.
I think that's probably the right call.
Also, in case you didn't hear about it in the news, someone on Ted Cruz, Republican senator from Texas and all around dough ball, apparently someone got on his Twitter account and retweeted like a very graphic, not safe for work sex thing. or liked it or retweeted or something like that. So that's been kind of a fun little political joke going around. So kind of a similar deal, except that I don't necessarily know that Cruz meant for that, but who knows? People are in all kinds of things.
Listen, you tell me a man who doesn't watch porn, and I'll show you a liar.
It's a good motto to live by. All right, my last which is more. Which is more? The number of times that Sonny Gray has screamed, "It's a sunny day, mother," at opposing teams after a strikeout, or the odds that Whit Merrifield is a time traveler from 1920 who did not bother to update his name to something from the last 50 years.
I'm glad you saved that to last because that's definitely the best one we've had. Oh man, both of those are so good. Oh God, I can't even remember because Whit Merrifield's was so good. Oh God, but I do like Sonny Gray swearing at people. That actually reminds me of Trevor Bauer, who was recently hollering at people as well. I forget who it was, yelling at him to get in the box and then go to the dugout. That was good times.
That was a fun. I do remember seeing that video. That was great.
Yeah. So you know what? I think I'm going to go with Whit Merrifield because I love time travel, and he reminds me of an old correspondent that we once had on the show whose name always eludes me. I don't know why. I can never remember his name.
Interesting.
We'll have to fact check that on Twitter. Good Lord, why can I never remember? Anyway, yeah,
Because
long lost colleague.
you're getting old. It happens to the best of us.
Yes. Oh, Harvey Dinkelman, that's what it was. Harvey Dinkelman, he was our correspondent. He fell in a porthole or a manhole and traveled through time accidentally into the year, I believe, 2014. And we gave him $5 a week to give us a sleeper, basically.
Harvey Dinkelman.
Yeah,
Interesting.
good old Harvey Dinkelman. I wonder
Actually,
whatever happened to
I
him.
vaguely remember that, but yes. Real quick story too. Have you ever played the Nintendo 64 game Mario Golf? I still to this day play it with a couple of friends. Like we have competitions between this thing. And in addition to the slew of Mario characters, Mario, Luigi, Peach, Bowser, etc., there were some like original creations for that game. And I play as one of them. His name is Sonny, and he wears a like old man bucket hat and one golfing glove. And he's overly optimistic at everything. And every time you birdie, he waves his hat in the air and he goes, "It's a sunny day," even if it's raining. And so when I was coming up with that, that's all I could think of. And the best part about that is my friend Justin uses that exact phrase as my text ringtone. So whenever I text him, he hears that. And then the other guy that my friend Brian uses is named Harry, and he's like he can't ever be happy about anything. Like if you birdie, he just kind of puts his head down and goes,
That's fantastic. Why can't they make games like that anymore?
Oh, so great. Yeah.
I need to get an N64, you said?
Yeah, it was an N64 game. That
Oh,
Mario
God.
Tennis is so good.
I need to go on eBay because that's what I really like is sort of those like Hot Shots golf games. Screw the serious stuff like Tiger Woods and whatever. Anyway, all right, we got to get out of here. Anything else that you want to impart amongst the fine listeners of this great podcast, Van, before we clock out for the rest of the season until the postseason finale?
I just want to say thanks. It's been a fun ride. I came on what? I guess at the beginning of the season because we were doing the pre-rankings, and then we kind of did the switch when we got to Big Guy Fantasy Sports. So this has been my first, I guess, full season of the show. It's fun. It's exciting. I like getting new people and talking to new people. Follow me on Twitter, of course. Having the discourse, complaining, making stupid jokes, meeting Ron, all of this stuff. It's great stuff. So thanks again for listening. You'll hear us sporadically during the off season. We'll be back next year, of course.
Indeed. Keep tuned for the finale and then also hopefully perhaps a bonus Fan Tracks podcast. But if you want to keep listening to us, we're going to keep even in the off season, we're going to continue to do the Fan Tracks radio feed, since it's a dynasty show, and that's when a lot of the dynasty league keeper league action is going on, is in the off season when there's not even any baseball being played. So we're going to be there every week, so you can listen to us there. So until next time, folks, whenever that may be, I suppose in a couple weeks, hopefully we get Ron back. But until then, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.